So, hey, we're here. So, I guess. We're here. We're clear. Lee Idiots.
Someone's got the hiccups, so I think someone else should introduce themselves first.
My name is Bri.
No, I meant me. I'm Kyle.
I'm Merc.
I'm Bri, yes.
Wait, who am I?
He's Kyle.
I'm the guy who shows the most enthusiasm at the beginning and the ending of the episodes. And the rest of the time, I go down lower, and this is my tone. Is that where I am? Like kind of around here. But at the beginning and the end of the episodes, I'm way up. I'm excited. I'm delighted. But
that is spoken like somebody who edits every single episode pretty much and notices things that no one else would.
You know, it's important to just be aware of who you are and what
be
you are.
Be comfortable and
You know, just put your feet in the sand every now and then. Just smoke a big fucking giant joint and just be cool.
Does your basement have sand and a joint?
No.
Does it have one of those two?
I'm not allowed to say.
It has DVDs and wine.
Yeah.
Just put your feet in some DVDs.
put your feet in the wine and smoke a DVD.
Ooh, that's a good Punisher War journal.
All right, what are we talking about this week?
Oh, man.
We got kind of a serious topic.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about some
stuff.
The state of the...
State of the comic industry in terms of, I think, in terms of how they approach their business now, as opposed to how they approached business, like, we could even just quickly say, like, how they did in the 50s and 80s and now, just as a...
Yeah, the business, you got the creativity, sometimes they punch each other in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And nothing is ever the same.
Right in the throat. Yeah.
Wait, wrong cue to do that?
Just pretty much do
no,
it the whole
no,
episode.
It could be fair,
no,
it's good. Okay.
It's good. So where do you feel?
What do I feel?
What pretty much sums up the comic industry in one word these days?
Events.
That's it.
Yep.
That's the one I was
fishing for. Get ready for the Christmas issue. It'll be out in November.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just say this and get it over with right now. I was a huge Marvel fan. I have been a huge Marvel fan. Not that I'm not a huge Marvel fan. Still... But that's how I grew up. I'm turning 40, like, literally in a couple weeks. I have been collecting Marvel for 30 plus years. And I'm at a point where I'm getting so pissed off with events and just the way things have been going, especially with Marvel, that it makes me want to... not collect Marvel, which is kind of sad.
Now, what is the sticking point?
The sticking point is, here's an event that leads to another event. Like, okay, you know what? They've been doing that for a while. That's not a new thing.
Right.
But then it becomes...
It's been at least 10 years now, I think, at this point.
Yeah. Like, off and on. Like, and it's kind of ebbed and flowed a little bit.
Yeah, or it's like, but it's really, you're dealing with the fallout of this crossover that leads into this crossover.
Right. But then it's become the announcements in the past... little while. And partially it's the fact that we don't know what's going on, really. So you never really know how they're doing it, but it's like what's going on right now. There's Axis is going on right now.
Yes.
Which I'm not enjoying at all.
You know what? After reading issue 4, yeah. I It's not good.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I have not touched it. I have no idea.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah. You're
I heard about the apocalypse situation, and I'm still angry.
On that note,
pour us a beer.
This one's for Evan.
Oh right,
big giant stupid Evan.
Yep.
Who's now a big stupid giant.
Shout out to Neil Capit who let us know about that situation, and I'm not happy.
Bad times. Dark days. Dark days.
Tavern.
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 To Merc.
Also Merc.
And Dr. Druid.
Always Dr. Druid. Come on, let's be real.
Anyways. But it's that, and then, like, whatever. Okay, I can deal with a shitty event that, I don't know, just, like, it has too many connections to too many other books that I don't read, and, like, I don't want to have to read 14 books, and that's always the, and I understand that's always the problem with these events, and it depends on how they're done, like, and how far-reaching they are, and, like, oh, you know, it's only an event that you can get away with reading the event, and then that's it.
They kind of trap themselves, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And it, well, like, in the things like, if you read, like, Civil War was contained enough.
Yeah.
But it did have stuff in every other book.
Yes.
You could read those other books and still get it. Not that you can't do that with Access, but there was so much, to me, missing that I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
It feels
going
like,
into it. And then I just found that the way it was written in the first four issues, I'm like, it's so quick and just so quickly turning. And it's like they were just trying to rush through something.
You know? There must be a lot going on in every other book to make it make sense, because it's just, they've tried to cram so much in.
It's like what usually happens in these events, and it's odd because the event books usually almost go too slow. And you're like, oh, kind of, things kind of ramble on. And they're trying to get the pacing, whatever. But this one's like at the end of the first issue, and in the second issue, I'm like, holy shit. Like, there's so much, it's almost too much, and you lose your storytelling kind of thing.
I'm not reading it.
They're just trying to do high points.
They're just trying to get this across. I'm not reading it, but I've read, like, a few just, you know, people in my timelines and whatnot that, like, friends of mine who are reading it, who basically said after the last issue, like, hey, this is shit. Like, this is not very good. And so, it's just, oh, you know, it's...
And it's not even that's the only problem, is that, okay, this was a shitty storyline. Marvel's done shitty storylines, whatever.
They're going to continue.
They're going to do that. That happens. But it's that, and then all the announcements. There's all the announcements of the one-shot stuff, like, whatever.
Yeah.
House of M, what is it? Age of Apocalypse, Secret Wars,
Age
I don't know.
Age whatever. Of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies.
Yeah, like, whatever the hell is going on. Like, all these other things, and then the end is next spring, whatever, end of everything. Plus, what is it, like, in 7 months, everything ends, plus, there's this, plus, there's, and they're all, like, at the same time, and I'm like, okay, I get you probably have some sort of plan, but you know what, you gotta back up and not look at it from a storyteller's perspective of a business. Here, we're all doing this, and it's gonna lead to that. You have to back it up, and, like, how do your readers react to this? Holy shit, like, I don't even know what's going on, and I'm a hardcore Marvel fan, and I'm confused.
I feel like, and again, I'm definitely not the first person to make this observation or anything, but they've created, even within their hardcore readers, I feel like they've created two different kind of readers, because they've focused so much on a lot of, like, sort of the B, C, whatever list characters that have their own generally self-contained...
Yeah,
right. Books like Ms. Marvel, for example, is a good example, or like Hawkeye, Daredevil, all that. Which occasionally, you know, I mean, like occasionally a crossover will touch on that, but it's in a way where you don't need to, buy into the entire crossover. Like again, like the Daredevil stuff, like that was all pretty self-contained, and that's great. Like I didn't need to read, like, you know, the one where the eye made people see shit. I don't know.
I entirely skipped that.
Yeah, again.
You know what changed my life? Very little.
Very little. But at the same time...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. But I'm saying at the same time, I mean, like, that's you're talking about, like, how far-reaching do these crossovers go? And you have the other reader who follows pretty much, like, the crossovers and everything that ties into them. And you have those people who follow those, like crazy, right? I mean, like, those sell a lot for a good reason, I guess. Maybe more readers follow that than the other way. I don't know. But, so you have that. If the crossover's not far-reaching enough, people will complain that the crossover wasn't important enough. But at the same time, if it's too far-reaching, the people who don't care about the crossover and just want to read about their favorite characters are put off by it intruding on, you know, like, just completely knocking their book off of its route, basically, being like, hey, this is happening now, we're going to just blow your plot lines aside.
That leads to what I've talked about numerous times on this with DC, is that, like, I only read a few, and Justice League Dark was one, and then they did the whole Blight and whatever, and that killed the book for me, and I dropped all my DC because of that. But Marvel, like, and I would almost add that there's a third reader to that. You're totally right that there's those kind of like B and C list things that are contained,
which is I'm loving those like self-contained kind of stuff, because again, I don't have enough money to buy the entire fucking Marvel line you know what I mean? Who does?
But at the same time, like, it's there's the event stuff, which people who buy the event stuff, but I think those are almost combined with certain, like, I don't just buy the event stuff. But I follow certain titles that tend to get linked to them. Like, this is some of the Avengers titles. Not all. I don't do all the Avengers titles, but I've liked New Avengers. I've been collecting that for, like, however many volumes they've been doing it. And, like, a handful of other ones. And it gets... Some of them cross over, some of them don't. Whatever.
Does it not feel a little bit, though, that they've sort of... They're basically, like, the system persists where not every... You know, is it possible to make everybody happy? But it feels like no matter what they do, this portion of their readership is unhappy, regardless, one or the other.
I get that.
I mean, like, it's you know what I mean? I don't feel like they have a very good balance there. It feels like, you know what I mean? Like, if something like a big stupid event is happening that's going to tear your certain characters, like, you know, into it and you know, screw up what you're enjoying, you're going to tune out a bit. Flip side, you know, if it's not as big a deal, you're going to tune out a little bit. It feels like they're just sort of playing both sides against each other.
I agree and I kind of disagree. I don't think that if it's a small enough or it's too small of an event that they're going to tune out. Like, it's not like, wasn't big enough and I'm not going to read that. I don't know if that's really a response. I think my thing would be almost to not... They need to tone the event back.
Yeah,
and have them every year, which is part of the problem.
They keep raising the stakes on events.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, if you try to like lower the stakes on an event, it's not an event anymore based on your own previous, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be your own previous history.
I don't know, maybe I see it a different way. I think if it's almost...
There's more than one way to do an event.
Yes.
Like, you go back, what, 2-3 years to Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an event that
was a big pile of shit.
It took over every book for a month or two. Like, every single one across the board.
Well, that drove me crazy.
And that wasn't... It wasn't good. I'm not saying it was good, but it wasn't... It didn't have that sense of scale that a lot of the other ones have had.
I paid $4 for Wolverine and the X-Men .au or something, which had nothing to do with the comic I was reading, just because I had that subscribed, right? It was just like, it tied into an event that I wasn't reading, and it was just sort of like, you know, if you're subscribed to something or have something on your pull list, that comes with it. Yeah. Like, you get pulled into something whether or not you want to. If you're like a regular reader, you kind of get punished for being a regular reader in a way.
It's like, oh, well, they're already buying this. We've got an extra $4 that we can take from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? As a matter of fact, if I were to ever say that I disliked any sort of big event or alternate reality thing less than I disliked Age of Ultron in the future or in the past, let that be stricken from the record, because Age of Ultron was the worst one. No, I'm just...
What even... What was the end result of that event at all? Like, what was it?
Double Galactus.
Oh, okay.
That's about it.
Like, there was, like, an alternate Wolverine, and they went to a cave, and one Wolverine came out, and who gives a shit? Now, whatever.
No. Although, you know what they're saying now?
Now they're both dead.
Now that other one's gonna come out years later.
Yeah.
And he's gonna have a new name. Ugh. And he's gonna have blonde hair.
Ugh. See? Yeah, this is not good storytelling.
He's gonna be the Blue Badger for a while.
Sure.
And then he's gonna take over the Wolverine mantle.
Sure, why not?
But they're talking now.
But then it turns out he was the real Wolverine all along, and his hair goes back to normal and you're all fine.
That all this lead up to this everything ends and Secret Wars and blah blah blah, that they've been planting this seed for literally like 5 years or something.
Yeah.
And, like, okay. Before Age of Ultron, and including Age of Ultron, that was part of the seed, was for this whole thing. And I'm like, you know what? I get
that's
it.
That's true.
I get it. But at the same time, yeah. You know, like, everything doesn't have to have a huge plan that goes... Like, yeah. And it becomes very hard to follow as a reader.
Well,
that and you're getting into certain... Then you have different writers, and different writers doing different things. And then their own writing styles get involved with that. Like Hickman, I have a really hard time reading some Hickman stuff and following his titles. Because, and I think he's heading up this whole thing right now, partially, is he's so grand scope kind of approach. And it was like, oh, just can we... get to a point of the story?
Like, that's what I really liked about Hickman's Fantastic Four run. Was that it was really grand, but you really had to deal with 5-6 characters.
Yeah.
You didn't have to deal with 80 characters.
Yeah. Right.
How does Miss Marvel feel about what's going on now? Well, let's take 6 issues to find out.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know what? I don't wanna have to look up stuff. I don't want to Google things in order to figure out what happened in a story.
You want
and,
to be able to understand like, because you read what happened.
Yeah, I'm like, did I just read this?
And whether or not a story ties into a larger picture, it should still be a story in its own, right? Yes. You're talking about, like, planting seeds, and you have, like, multiple events that are, you know, even, you know, people can pretty much agree that they're not satisfactory stories on their own. And they might lead to a bigger picture down the line, but... Yeah, no, you need to...
Is there even a final picture? Because after the next event, there's going
to
be something
it's gonna
after
lead,
that.
It's all just teasing what's next, man.
Then this leads into my next part of this, would be, why are they doing this? This is where the business meets creativity thing.
Right.
Where it's, now we're, in the past however many years, we've been very much caught up in the business approach to storytelling in comics. Where it's... becomes business-driven. Okay, you know what? What sells is event things. And look at the new 52. That did really well business-wise. You changed your whole line. You rebooted.
Yep.
And everybody bought in. And that was great. Okay, but...
Everybody but me.
Yeah.
I read a bunch of those.
Yeah.
And they were all very good. And I stayed on a lot of them probably longer than I should have. Just because, like, well, it will go somewhere eventually. But it didn't. Because I wasn't reading a main Justice League book.
Right.
Because then I could have gotten that sweet crossover.
Oh, God. Yeah. Brutal. And so then that one leads into the other thing. Then it's a crossover thing. And then...
You guys remember when, like, Jeff Johns was a pretty good writer? Seems like it was a while ago.
Honestly, I couldn't tell
you. Sorry, Jeff Jones.
Remember when you could just read a story?
Yeah.
And it was a story.
Exactly.
And it was like one issue, and I knew what happened, and then I could just pick it up a month or 6 months later.
Remember that time Arcade kidnapped a bunch of guys?
Mm.
That was a good 24 pages.
Remember when X-Men had like a two-parter, and it was a big thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beginning, next month?
What?
How am I going to wait about 4 weeks?
Wolverine just pops out. Now it's my turn. Oh, shit!
No, I feel like we are being grumpy old men about it a little bit.
A little bit.
But,
at the same time, it's like, you know what? It becomes... I feel like I've been strung on by Marvel a lot in the past 3 years or so.
Right.
With just, like, Age of Ultron, Original Sin stuff, and, all, like, Infinity and all these things... Everyone tying into each other, and then some of them kind of going nowhere, and then just disappearing, or then popping in little, becoming little minor things that I'm like, okay, did this go anywhere? I don't know what's going on.
That's
like,
what I'm at the point when it comes to events, at least when it comes to Marvel. If it's one that sounds cool, I will read it. If it doesn't sound very cool, I won't read it. Like Siege, I enjoyed Siege quite a bit.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was good. I liked
because
that.
It's like, hey, let's have a giant fight. On Asgard. Okay, sounds cool.
Right.
But, like, the one that's currently going on, it had me. It had me for the first little bit, where it was like, hey, let's all fight the Red Skull, he's a giant monster. Okay, done.
Right.
But now it's, hey, let's all fight each other, because we haven't done that in a couple years.
Yeah.
Also, we're all bad now.
Yeah.
But Carnage is a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, the inverting people.
But I think that's the inversion thing. But then that thing, and that's part of it, is that hasn't really been explained, and you don't even...
Well,
you're like, what?
It was the whole chaos order spell thing.
I wish Todd was here because I think Todd had it.
Did the Scarlet Witch play a part in fucking something up?
Whoops!
I think it was Todd. Todd had a theory that it's... He's like, oh, that was Doctor Doom's fault. Because it was Doctor Strange.
It could have been Scarlet Witch's fault. She has things up.
But it was like, he's intentionally did something that inverted something. Like, which is... Yeah. That's a good theory.
I would like to read him as a hero.
Well, he's heading up an Avengers...
That's right.
That's one of the things coming up.
That sounds like a dumb, stupid book. I mean, Let's be fair. Oh, what if Dr. Doom led the Avengers? That's stupid. That's stupid, and you're stupid for writing that stupid book. Whoops. Oh, I've been inverted. Now I'm Prick Kyle. Too much? Too much.
Wait a minute. How do you really feel? I don't think he was inverted at all.
It's been the real me all along.
Damn it.
Yeah. My mother was right.
Here's the question, though. Events have increased, but they're not new. How much have they increased, really, in the last 20 to 30 years?
Since the 80s? Quite a bit.
A fair bit.
Like, really, in the past...
the 80s? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an issue of bringing more books into the event.
Right.
The event is an event horizon, if you will.
Right.
It's a black hole sucking in every book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah, it's like, nice. Oh, how's your fun?
Thank you. I'm stealing that.
That's amazing.
Good. That's good.
God damn it.
We did record it. You can't steal it. It's been recorded. Yeah, he's got credit.
It's true.
I'm going to edit it out of that. I hope that you don't remember.
It is, and again, it is more, and I feel like it's more frequent. It feels like there's like always an event now.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's always that on the horizon, plus it always seems...
There's the tie-in book that leads up to the event, and there's the one that deals with the fallout.
And then it's the event that leads to the event that leads to the event. There is no actual conclusion.
I think it'd be an interesting experiment to only read those books. Like, only those.
Just the event books.
Just the event books and the books that are, like, epilogue to this.
Right.
Six issues, likely. And then, you know, prologue to this, which is probably...
Fallout.
Yeah.
Part 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's Carnage emotionally right now?
You know what? I just gotta say when...
He's still kind of fucked up, frankly.
When Axis started, I didn't know anything about the whole Red Skull... Whatever.
Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers thing. Yeah,
that started, and I opened it, and I was like, my first thought, this is fucking stupid. I that was the thing that turned me off right at the start. I was like, Red Skull is one of the coolest characters, the most vilest of villains.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
you put him in goofy armor.
It's totally dumb. Like, it's like, you've just done this stupid thing. That it's like, wasn't Onslaught a joke? Really? Like, looking back on it, he really wasn't that great of a... Everybody made fun of it afterwards when it came out. And it's like, oh, you know what's a good idea? Take that character that everybody made a joke out of and combine it with this, like, major villain that's been around for 60 years.
A lot of sort of foreshadowing when it came to Red Skull Onslaught.
Oh, I'm sure. And, like, but that's the thing. I don't read that book. And
that was nowhere.
Part of it. Yeah. It was like, I just opened this going,
what the fuck? What?
I'm like, what? He's, what? I'm like, why is he there? And we're already jumping into the action.
I'm a big Nazi now.
He has Xavier's brain, right?
Yeah, he's carrying his brain.
He's just carrying it?
Well... He just pretty much carrying it around.
But I mean, like, it became a part of him enough that he became Onslaught. So you just crams another brain up in that skull.
Because Magneto killed him. And, you know, you need Magneto for Onslaught. But then there's also Magneto. He's right there.
Yeah.
Wait, is that Joseph? No. Okay, it is Magneto.
Are we bringing back Joseph next? Is that an event?
Well... No, fuck,
Joseph
no.
Slaughter.
No, never, ever, ever, ever.
But
Joseph. Age of Joseph.
Joseph.
Oh, yeah. You would buy a comic. You'd probably spend $4 to $5 on a comic. It was just called Nosef.
A zero issues event.
I really wonder how the Squirrel Girl book is going to tie into that.
Oh, God. I am very excited for that, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to read Squirrel Girl.
I hope it doesn't have any tie-ins with things.
If it does, I feel like it'll be a big... why put her in there?
Because she'll just win it.
Yeah. I feel like if there's a tie-in, it'll be a big joke.
Yeah.
About how, like, she actually won it and no one noticed. Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoopsie doops.
Whoopsie doops.
Yeah.
Also, Dupe was there.
Yeah. Squirrel Girl, Dupe crossover, ongoing series. I like it. Team up, yeah.
Another part of this whole business in modern comics now is the whole kind of inclusion with the cinematic universe.
Right.
Of kind of...
Here's what movie's coming out, so we'd better have a tie-in or something.
Or here's the Avengers, and here's the Avengers movie. Oh, so the Avengers lineup has to change
right. In
the comic to reflect that.
Yeah.
Which, again, a business standpoint, and I understand it, doesn't mean I like it.
Has it ever actually had a big impact on sales, though?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, you know, again, it's...
Are the people that go to see the movie, do they go and buy the books?
I don't think so. I think maybe a few do.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Some, yes, but I don't think it's enough that you need to completely... Yeah. Like, again, like, you know, the dog in the tail, like, what's...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that... and me personally, I mean, I would have originally... But a lot of these characters got into them through, like, a cartoon or something like that. Initially, I've seen something like that.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them. And I just dove in, right? And I'm a lifelong fan, and I didn't, you know, it didn't tie in with what I might have originally seen of them. So I think it's, yeah, if you're trying to, like, make it something familiar to the masses and try to, like, be basically, like, a comic version of what they just saw in a movie, no, they already saw that. You know what I mean? If you give them something like, oh, what's this? And they might get a little more curious. It might draw them in a little bit more than just trying to emulate what they just saw on the screen. Because they saw it.
But what if Star-Lord had a coat? Instead of, you know, the thing that he's worn for years and years.
Weirdly enough, I'm pretty okay with that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good book. Okay,
that's a bad example.
There's little things, and then there's like...
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Agent Coulson's in the comics.
Right.
And you're like, okay... This
and I like character. I like Coulson.
I like Coulson in the movies and the
but
book
I like him because he's Clark Gregg.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's and I'm like I don't need to have him in the comics, so he really doesn't have any sort of weight or bearing in there. And it's like okay, and just like little things like that. And then just when they suddenly have like lineup changes because of that, and
right?
It's like okay, it's really obvious this is why you're doing it.
Also, the Hulk is in the Avengers again. You're
specifically referring to that. To Hulk being in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
To the Avengers book being, here's the Avengers lineup. It's the exact same one from the movie.
Yeah. And, like, when was the last time Hulk was an Avenger naturally in the comics?
Yeah.
It's like, no, not really. He hasn't, you know what I mean? Like, And I get why he was in the movie, and it worked great, but...
Well, even in the rest of them. Like, and all of a sudden...
Sure.
Like, Hawkeye can be, like, in and out of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And then also, now he's... Oh, so now I'm a main character again. Like,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Like,
it's one of those things where you have these characters, and again, it's there's always going to be some fluctuation because there's always going to be editorial and creative turnover that changes things. But I mean, like, it feels like sometimes, hopefully, if it works well, characters sort of have a natural kind of progression, and hopefully, if writers and editorial are mindful of that and actually care about, you know, building their universe, they're going to be mindful of what came before and try to actually build on it and then cut out what didn't work, but try to build on something in a natural way and grow those characters. But yeah, something like that comes up and it's like, hey, maybe this character and this character and this character are kind of past that point.
Right.
But a movie came out, so we got to drag them back. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Like when you take a character who's gotten to a certain point where you're trying to appeal to the masses. Like, again, Spider-Man's a good example.
You regress their storyline.
As I've said before, you regress the characters to try to fit something. I get it. I mean, I get the appeal for doing that because I feel like it's easier in a way to write them in a certain way that people might be familiar with.
Right. It's their, for lack of a better word, iconic representation.
It's the de facto state that they're
right
normally go to.
But yeah. it kind of breaks universe building. It kind of breaks character building. It kind of breaks all of that when it's, you know what I mean? Back in the old Marvel days, they had the illusion of change.
Yes.
And, you know what I mean? It was sort of like they'd have little steps forward, they'd have little steps towards something, but they wouldn't change them so much. We're looking at it a little bit differently because we're many decades past that point where characters actually were eventually allowed to change a lot over time, and then you drag them back. So it's sort of, I mean, like, again, it's a weird thing where, you know, there's no illusion about it one way or another. If you're dragging somebody back to a status quo from, like, 20 years ago, you kind of break it a little bit.
Right. There's no...
It's too much.
There's no real sense in doing that other than the idea that you might be able to pull in the elusive new reader.
Right. Which, you know...
And, yeah. You know, there must be new readers. I mean, that must be a thing because it's not only an Asian population. There are kids...
An Asian population?
Yeah.
Just the Asians.
A population.
Oh. We didn't say aging.
I tried to. I may have slurred a little bit.
Hey, we're drinking beer.
I may have slurred slightly. But that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Again, back to the same thing, though. I mean, like, you know, I was watching Spider-Man cartoons where he was, like, you know, a college dude.
Yeah.
And then, I was reading, you know, comics when he was married and his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was able to differentiate between the two and enjoy both.
Somehow, he is less progressed than the cartoon.
Weird.
Kind of, at this point.
Kind of, yeah.
Does he have a doctorate now? I feel like he has a doctorate now.
He does. He does, but Dr. Octopus got him for him, and it was that whole plot line where Dr. Octopus was supposed to be better than him.
I skipped out on, like, half of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, eh, I know it's going to get reverted because there's a movie coming out.
Right. And there's
the problem.
Exactly, because, I mean, even when they try to do something surprising, you just know that the second that there's some sort of a tie-in potential for mainstream media, that it's just going to get, you know, it's just going to get reverted, or it's just going
to
get...
They're going to have a board meeting and go, you know what, we got to get this character back to this.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
this is the iconic, this is the one everybody knows.
And like, what, it's like, been a month since Wolverine died, they've greenlit another Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, when's that coming out? See you soon, Logan.
Funny enough with Spider-Man.
Not
again,
that we didn't know.
Amazing Spider-Man number one came out right around the time that Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out.
Yeah.
And funny enough, here is Electro being the villain of the first arc. Like, you know what I mean? You can set your watch to it. You know what's coming. So yeah, it's weird, right?
You know what I'd be really interested in seeing is, and this will never happen, just, I'd like to see good writers on all the books... Just do their own. Well, I know.
Holy shit. What artists? You want good artists?
Yeah. But then
can't everyone get a puppy for Christmas?
But just no events for a year or two, and just have them do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like no intentional crossover thing.
Which again,
just, it would be interesting to see how if that could be done. Like,
all of my favorite books are great because they're pretty much doing that, but I mean you have to be kind of like, you know, in your own little pocket in order to get away with that.
And but the thing is, you can also do it with some of the main characters. Like, look at, I've been raving about Thor God of Thunder.
Yeah.
Which again has no crossover.
I just picked up the first trade, right? It was the first six or so issues, and it's real good.
Really good. And it gets
real
better.
Good.
And it gets even better. And that's the thing. And I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, you know what? That never had any bearing or whatever on anybody else or any other thing or any other event. Maybe there might have been like a nod or two somewhere, but it really didn't matter.
I don't think there
is. Even that, well, like a little bit later on, but, and then it's like, even that is, it's inconsequential.
Right.
It really doesn't matter. But at the same time, I was like, this is the best book I'm reading right now. Yet.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to involve everything and every level, but there's other. I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah,
just like, can I just have a good story?
There's the thing about the shared universe. The trade off with the shared universe, right? It's way too easy to just pull everyone together for major deals all the time, and you know, and I feel like in a way it's like, yeah, but you know, I love Marvel like crazy, and I read it like I grew up on it, but I mean, they were always, for the most part, pretty separate. It was special when somebody crossed over.
But that's the thing.
It's it was special when there was the something that brought everybody together.
Was like, we're now it's every years, summer. It's every summer and in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like multiple events in a year because of the, you're talking about the prologue and epilogue, lead ups, like pre-events that lead to another event.
Oh, we call them pre-events now.
Yeah.
Right.
I would like to prevent
it's,
them.
It's funny because... it's funny because the cinematic universe has kind of gotten to a place where if only the comics could be like that, where they're telling these separate stories with the characters, and yes, you can bring them together, and it's really cool. It's fun to see them all interacting, but you can do these solo stories.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It does kind of build to other stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be this specifically builds to this.
Even dealing with a fraction
like,
the number
like
of the, characters.
It's like the B plot or the C plot leads to something else.
Right.
It doesn't need to be the A plot.
No, exactly. Yeah. You know. Even just like, just sort of approach it from like, sort of, again, they're all superheroes and blah, blah, blah. But like, for example, we all have friends that live in town. Do you see every one of your friends, like, every weekend or even once a month? I don't know about you, but I have enough going on in my life where I, you know, if I get together, like, honestly, like, I've met up with, like, a few people recently I hadn't seen in months and months and months.
Yeah.
Because we've just been busy. We have our own shit going on. That's it. You know what I mean?
That's like, crossover event.
Spider-Man's got his own stuff going on. And maybe he's going to see Wolverine, maybe... You know, maybe every 6 months or so.
You know what?
But again, think of comic time. Maybe every couple of years.
When I see, like, an odd collection of people that I haven't seen in a while, like, I'll see, oh, I remember that guy from high school, I remember that guy from university, I remember that guy from work, and I see them all at the same time, that's a fun little crossover event for me.
Yeah.
Frankly. I like, when I see those weird collections out at a place, like, if I see them at a concert or something like that, I'm like... This is my weird little team for the night.
Hey, guys.
I love this little team. I don't want to read an ongoing book about this team, though.
Right.
Yeah. Frankly.
Like, how often does that actually happen
guys,
in your life?
You're my Atlantis attacks. I don't know if I want to read all of you.
I don't think I'd read a book completely comprised of just ex-girlfriends.
You're pointedly looking at Kyle when you said it.
Guys, you're my evolutionary war.
Ooh. You know?
If there was an omnibus of us, I'd demand a discount.
Podcast tagline.
That's a t-shirt. You just wrote a t-shirt.
You did it.
That's actually, that happened to me.
You wrote a t-shirt?
No. That when I bought the Evolutionary War omnibus.
Oh, and you demanded a discount?
No. Rob at Hill City, he was like, I bring it up. He's like, whoa, you're actually buying this? Like, yeah, I'm like, I know it's going to suck.
We got one!
Yeah, exactly. It was like that. I'm like, I know it's going to suck, but it's like a nostalgia thing, whatever. I just want it as a lark. And to lie. He goes, I, in good conscience, can't charge you full price for this. And he just knocked it down in
it's
price.
It's a black and white book, but somebody colored in every picture of the High Evolutionary as pink.
Yeah.
It needs to be pink, really. Yeah, well, come on.
What good is he if he's not pink?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom...
What else do we hate?
Yeah.
That pretty much covered, I think.
We're only at 45 minutes.
Look at this.
It's a shorty.
Well, I'm going to take a nap.
What is the solution?
What is the solution? One, I think they got to step back from the events.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Like, I mean, it's not to not have them, but, you know...
As long as they keep selling, they're not going to, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, I mean, again, it's...
What's the solution is to collect other than Marvel and DC.
Absolutely.
You know what? Sega doesn't have an event or a crossover.
But what if it did?
It's a fucking big comic.
Oh, what if it did?
Sega Sex Criminals crossover.
Crossover with Youngblood.
Yeah.
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 Sega drawn by Rob Liefeld.
I'm very curious. I want to believe that the real Rob Liefeld follows the fake Rob Liefeld on Twitter.
I want to believe that the real Rob Liefeld knows that we all are just laughing.
He does.
I mean, it's okay. He's rich. He did Hawk and Dove.
Also Deathstroke.
Hawk and Dove.
Yeah.
And Deathstroke. Wow, Deathstroke and Deadpool. In one career.
Go figure. Weird, right?
So yeah, what's the
how do we fix it?
How do you fix it? And like it can't be fixed? Is Marvel just gonna continually get worse with this?
Maybe DC will get better.
Well, let's not go crazy. Yeah, I mean, I...
There's this lead-up right now to next summer, which is going to be the end of everything, and then 14 events and one-shots and whatever.
Right. Again, it seems like the further we go along, there's more and more events, more and more, like, pretty much just trying to pull at the current readers. I mean, there's, like, a new reader is not going to buy... Me, I have enough problem buying a $4 Marvel comic. You know what I mean? Like, the prices are pretty high, in general. They tend to increase them by a full freaking dollar if they're going to increase it. You know what I mean? Like, they might increase page count, but that's temporary. As soon as enough people have bought it, they're going to cut the page count back down, and they seem to increase... You know what I mean? Like, I remember when, like, you know, the price would go up by, like, 25, 50 cents.
Yeah.
Now it's, like, a buck. You know what I mean? Like, now we're looking at, like, $5 comics coming out, like, issues of a comic.
Yeah.
Again, increased page count, but I remember when they had $4 comics first introduced, and they increased the page count then, too, and had backup stories, and then they quietly stopped doing that, and they were the same exact page count as, like, a $3 comic, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they sort of sneakily jack up the price, and they have more and more events to, you know, be like, hey, everyone who cares about these characters, you have to read this, it's a big deal. I mean, yeah, they're chasing something unsustainable.
It's, and when I used to work for several pretty big companies, and I would, like, on a managerial side, and I would go to these big district meetings and stuff, and we'd be talking about similar sort of things. And it's like, here's their projected sales. Okay, where did you get your projected sales from? Well, we want to do better than last year. Okay, where did those come from? Well, we wanted to do better than the year before that.
Right.
It's continuously up. Well, you know what? I hate to break it to you. Logic dictates you cannot continually do better and better and better and better.
Right.
That's just not how it works. And that's what and then we start getting into
that's like a streak.
That's...
Which is nice, but any sort of business has ups and downs.
That's the problem with...
Yeah.
Current capitalism. That's a whole different issue. Of course. Like, that's how big business looks at things now. We just want to do better and better and better. So either cut back stuff or just have your targets are higher, higher, higher every time, and you just got to push, push, push to get to that. Well, but that...
Yeah.
It's not feasible.
You're
going to come down, and when you come down, it's not like this tragic thing. It's like, you know what? You did okay.
Yeah.
You're okay to plateau. For the next 10 years, making $10 million.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a
very short-term business thinking where it's just like you just need to do better right now instead of thinking like, hey, how are we going to be in a better position maybe 10 years from
now? Yeah, exactly.
It's like, we've got to think of it more long-term. Right the fuck now. Well, yeah, it's just.
We can't plateau. We need to go higher.
Yeah.
Reach for the stars. Yeah. I don't know what was with that voice.
I don't know.
That was Mr. Shaky Head. He's a new character I'm trying out. You can see him every Wednesday at the Chuckle Barn.
Monday to Thursday.
Or I will be working for Nacho Scrapings.
Not even full nachos.
Not just the scrapings.
Whew. I will be sure to leave a little scraping in the bottom of that nacho pail.
Hey, every chive is a delicious chive.
Sure.
But not the chive.
Not
sweet, nourishing chive. Chive on.
Keep calming. Just fuck it. Who's doing this? Who is supporting the site?
Keep calming, I guess get a free sticker, because I can't imagine you paid money for that.
Oh, they probably did, though.
Anyway, yeah, that's my solution. Think about what will actually draw new people in and isn't just cannibalizing your current markets and, you know.
But I don't even think it's about thinking what will draw new people in. Like it's,
no, but I think
comics have always naturally
make
just
something
drawn
that's affordable and act legitimately
yeah.
good. And we'll
okay,
get,
yeah.
you know what I mean.
Price
like,
wise,
just focus
yeah.
on like doing quality work at an affordable rate, and you know what I mean. Like it worked. It worked for a while before. It's you know the market keeps shrinking yeah. and shrinking, and I feel like
you need to be a little bit respectful to the people who are supporting it.
Right?
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, well, that's okay. a part of it. And also, I mean, again, like, maybe just, again, tell legitimately good stories that somebody can just pick up and follow without having to know every fucking other thing that's going on in your universe. Like, it, you know, kind of how it would start it out a little bit. And, yeah.
It's, yeah, it's a matter of looking back and seeing, okay, what worked in the past? How does that work in the future? Obviously, you can't.
And not just, what were big events from the past?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the wrong way,
yeah.
clearly.
But then you know that's not how it's going to work. It's like the business is looking, oh, where were our top sales? This, 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 and this. Oh, okay, well, let's just increase those.
Right.
And you know that's what's going on.
And again, they have you have some signs of growth. Like, Ms. Marvel is doing real well.
Yeah.
Like, it's especially, like, as like, a digital title, like a download and stuff, and, like, as a trade and stuff. The first trade, I think, came out, and it sold really well, from what I hear. Because they tapped into something there. And again, it's not something that was like, hey, this is like tying into Original Sin and tying into this and tying into this. It's sort of doing its own thing, for the most part. And yeah, like, it's they've tapped into something that's kind of clicking with people.
But you gotta
do that across the board. Just try to, you know what I mean? Just try to actually...
At least for a while?
Yeah. I mean, like, you can do something if it's special, but I mean, try to build your entire universe up with characters, individual characters... You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's so much potential there, and it just feels like...
I think the issue there is so many of the characters that are out there are well-established ones, or at least well-established in the eye of the casual reader.
Right.
Where and that's why they will bring a character who's had a lot of changes in their personal continuity back to a starting point for an event, where it's just like... Well, yeah, but not everyone has followed the past 5-10 years, so
right.
we need to reintroduce them to this character. And we can't say they've been through all of these changes and they're a much better person now, they've grown. No, this is just the guy that you've always liked.
Right. To kind of tap back into that illusion of change thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, the core of the character, I mean, again, like, if you know, I get that the core of the character shouldn't change too much. If you're an event, you don't have to, like, cover the fact that, like, you know, maybe Spider-Man is married or something. That doesn't need to be, like, you know,
no,
you don't need to mention that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to necessarily...
Well, that's one thing that events, I don't think they likely increase the selling rate of books leading up to the event.
No, probably not.
And that's probably something that, you know, there's a lot of money to be made there. And that's something that they could look into that... wouldn't necessarily hurt the quality of the books.
Okay.
Know what I'm saying?
I get it.
I can dig it.
I'm just saying, instead of just wrecking characters because
right.
you need to reset them, why don't you address what's changed with those characters since the last time the casual reader has looked in on them.
In an accessible way.
And have
way.
That
yeah.
tie in to some degree. It doesn't need to be whole hog, but...
Right.
I think part of that is how you view characters and how you view storytelling and of continual characters.
Right,
whether
right.
it's, okay, they've become this, and they either just become darker or lighter or whatever, and then
Beiger.
They completely change, or, and then they got to revert back to that prime state, that original
right,
state.
Right.
Where I don't think that's the approach. Like, it's like a person. Like, we're all...
No, I
we all
kind
of go
that.
Along. Like, and
right.
it's going to change, and you're going to have that original character. And that core of that person won't change that much. It'll... Like, you'll have...
Oh, I don't know. I used to be a lighthearted fellow.
You're a bastard now.
Look at me now.
I talk like this.
Old man Lee's.
Give me my shotgun on my porch.
I have a porch now. You don't understand.
I don't even have a house, just a porch. I built it. It's called a gazebo.
Get off my gazebo.
Remember when that happened on Scrubs when he just lived at a porch?
You get the hell off my gazebo.
Gazebo Lees, that's what we call him.
Well, that's my Halloween costume for next year.
Gazebo Lees. Make sure you put those dots on it, though.
All one word.
Well, that's a pagoda.
Ah, it's a pagoda. If you're not from Thunder Bay, and also not 30, you won't get it. Or a plus.
Well, you could, I'm sure they've got...
I'm sure that word exists.
The elsewhere. Thunder Bay vignettes, pages from our storied past, on YouTube.
Yep.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom...
So, who are we? We're just calling
it... So, who are we?
Calling it an episode.
That's it.
We're done.
So...
I'm not Kyle.
I am also not Kyle.
I'm not Kyle either.
Wait a minute.
That's right, it's been me, Zarthan, of the Sex Lords.
What? I thought you were going
Sex Malords?
You know what, halfway through, I
Sex Malord? Sex Malord? No, thank you, I'm tired.
Halfway through, I decided that the voice was very sexy. I'm Kyle. You can check my stuff out at skiNinjas.com. And...
He's on the Twitter. He's the Kyle Lees.
I am the Kyle Lees. Yep. I'm not just Kyle Lees. I'm the Kyle Lees.
Who are you? Well, I'm Bri. My name is Bri Kotick. That's spelled BRYKOTYK. Type that into the Google so you're going to find some stuff. That sounded suggestive. It's really not. I have a comic.
Bri Kotick, big cat.
Safe search off.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, you might find that Stan Lee picture. So there's that.
That is. You're a fit fella.
Well, I was when that picture was taken. Also, I have a comic at WelcomeToHereafter.com. It's about, you know, gods and junk. God loses his job, and then another 290 comics happened.
Junk.
Stuff and junk.
Junk in the godly trunk.
What is up? Yeah, that's good.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. Merc, or nowadays on Facebook. I do stuff. I do comics. I do fine art, t-shirts, photography. That's about it. I do other stuff, but I don't want to talk about it.
That's none of your goddamn business what he does.
Stop pressuring me! Oh, God, I hate you.
I want to hit some sort of thing, but... I have nothing.
I wish it was dead. Ah! Oh my God.
I hate you, Dad.
I got zero issues.
They have, like, that picture of the dots, and it just fades.
Will the dots return? Only time will tell.
Yeah. They won't.
God, I would love to make some more of those.
Excellent.
That's brilliant.
We should make fake
just
ones.
Do some more Thunder Bay vignettes.
Yeah.
What's a Persian? Who fucking cares?
Just fucking jam it in your mouth. Come on, man.
It's frosting on a cinnamon roll. Who gives a shit? Eat it. Pages from our story
past. Or profile some of the regulars around town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
Tuffy. Everybody know Tuffy?
Who's Tuffy?
Hey. Hey. Do you know him? I've known him since I was a kid. Just walking around town, and he would walk around. I haven't seen him around in a while, so I don't know if he's around like in the past couple years, but he would
I didn't mean to laugh there.
He would walk around town.
I haven't seen him in a while.
And he'd be like across the street from you. If you just happen to catch him, like catch his eye.
Speech bubble.
Hey. Hey. And big strides, walking all the time. Big tough guy. And they called him Tuffy. That was his name.
Yeah.
There's people, I don't know who calls him Duffy, but
no,
that's
that,
how
it, you know, it sounds...
You totally...
What's his name? There's the guy who's, like, at the mall all the time, who's got, like, the white, or, like, the freaking mullet and the leather jacket.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy.
The dancing fool.
Yeah, that's him. That's, anytime there's, like, a shag or a party or something, he's fucking there.
Oh, he's a dancing fool.
Mullet? He's got the mullet. He's
the
like
blonde mullet.
It's like he's like platinum blonde.
Yeah,
and
it's
he's
a
just
beautiful
like,
mullet.
Yeah,
it is. Why are
that
we
guy,
talking
that
about
guy's
old
no.
balls
though? This
is like, okay, you know what? We don't do comics on this show anymore. Now it's just hilarious people that everybody.
That should be our side project. It's just like a monthly. What the fuck, Thunder Bay?